All right. Hello, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm your host, Chris, and here with me today is my good friend, Randy.
I'm back.
He's back. You may remember Randy from a previous episode where we learned how exactly I am just like J. Jonah Jameson and how he has lasers for hands.
Yep. Nothing else happened that episode.
That was literally it. We discussed those two things. It was the shortest episode.
I did not talk anything about Civil War or getting engaged.
Yeah, none of that. I'm giving people just the absolute bullet points that they need to know moving forward to understand all they need to know about you.
It's the important parts, like how I was just on War Rocket Ajax, which was another podcast, and all we really talked about was Garfield. We were supposed to talk about other stuff, but we just talked about Garfield.
I think that's when the real magic of podcasting happens, is when you talk about the things you had no idea you were going to talk about.
Important stuff.
It really makes your brain get to, when you have no preparation for something, it's when the real magic happens.
Yeah. It's like those 4 a.m. conversations you have with your friends.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah, exactly. As you may or may not know, right now we were recording this in San Diego Comic-Con. SDCC is in full swing.
Obviously.
And yeah. When this goes up, it will probably have just finished. But today has been a pretty big day for the comic geek community, as far as like today being Saturday was a real big reveal day, and seems like DC / Warner Brothers, probably more so Warner Brothers than DC, really. And it's funny how we always frame these kind of arguments as like Marvel versus DC, when it's really Disney versus Warner Brothers. At this point, that's really who it's against, who the fight is.
DC Entertainment now.
And yeah.
Marvel Entertainment.
Which I will say, you know, this is the first time we've got to see that new logo, you know, in something, in something that was like a big thing like this.
Was it? I didn't even notice.
It jumped right out at me. I was like, oh, there it is. This is Marvel or DC's third logo now at the beginning of a movie since they've started changing them. But anyway, there was a number of kind of big reveals today on the DC side. And Randy and I were talking about it over text. And I was like, we were planning on recording a podcast about something else today. And I was like, hey, we should do like a quick mini-sode just talking about these trailer releases from today. Just because... the trailers are short, so this will be kind of a short little episode.
Yeah, it's funny. And it's funny because like we text back and forth so often now, and you know, since you have a podcast, it's like, all right, let's stop doing that and actually talk to each other and record it.
Yeah,
because other people want to hear it, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of fun. It's funny how many of my friends that you know, like people that I have on the show, and we don't have those. We don't necessarily have those kind of conversations until I get them on the show, other than like via text or something.
Yeah. I think it's like kind of the thesis of your shows, where you talk about life and stuff through all of this pop culture stuff. And I think that it's really apt that like the only real time that we have an excuse to talk to each other is as like, oh, let's talk about, you know, X, Y, or Z on the podcast. And like, you know, you live in Memphis, I live in New York now. And so like, you know, we're far away.
Location changer dropper.
Yeah, I moved. Yeah. But yeah, we're so far away that, you know, I can't just like go over to your house and just talk about random stuff. So it's like, this gives us like a nice excuse to like chat and catch up, but you know, talk about nonsense.
Yeah. And then people because I then put it out where other people can listen to it. No one feels weird about being forced to talk to me for like an hour or so. It's like, if I just told someone, hey, would you just come over and talk to me about this movie for an hour? They would probably go, no, Chris, I will not.
Yeah. So this is the solution to a lot of like, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're an introvert and you like nerdy things, just make a podcast.
Yeah,
it's a great way to talk to you.
Yeah. It's a great way to trick people into talking to you, maintaining a friendship. And it's funny, you know, just some of those people are just like, I was like, I don't really have a good excuse to try to get them to come hang out or, you know, to force them to talk to me. And then there it happens. Just do all the work involved with putting a podcast together and get the software and the microphones and all that stuff. And then you two can have once a week conversations with different friends. So anyway, we're going to do this and just talk about these. And hopefully that will be fun for you guys. Love to hear what you guys think about it. After the fact, you guys can send in your emails and your tweets and all those kinds of things, all those fun things that happen. So first things first is let's talk about the Wonder Woman trailer.
It's Etta Candy. I'm Steve Trevor's secretary.
What is a secretary?
I go where he tells me to go and I do what he tells me to do.
Oh, well, where I'm from, that's called slavery.
I really like her.
Fantastic. Oh, ladies, after you.
I do. I like her.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, because I guess it was the first one that was released today, and it was the first one that got us, I think it was the one that got us texting at first. Mm-hmm. So just my initial impressions were that this one looked cool.
Yep.
Two, it looked very much, and along with that poster they released yesterday, looked very much like they were trying to say, and then this plays up even more when we get to the next one, but looked very much like Warner Brothers was trying to go like, hey guys, we heard all the stuff you were yelling about, okay? Look, there's some colors.
Yeah.
Look, people are having fun and making jokes.
Yeah, I think that's the first reaction a lot of people had was like that when that poster was shared by, it was actually, I think it might have broke on Gal Gadot's Twitter.
Yeah, I think she was the one that actually posted it first.
And once that poster came out, everyone was just like, that looks great. There's actual color in this. Like, you can tell that she's wearing a red and blue something. You know,
yeah.
I think that, like,
we got all three.
That was the first reaction,
We got all three primary colors in there, like really not desaturated, undesaturated.
I was over at Ming Doyle, who's a friend of yours as well, artist and writer. She and I were kind of hanging out and drawing earlier today, and we saw that all this news was breaking on Twitter, so we kind of took a break from our work and watched the Wonder Woman trailer first, and the first thing that Ming said was just like, oh, I'm really glad that they made the lasso like glowing yellow.
Oh man, right?
Yeah, and like she was
that
just like
so awesome.
Yeah, she was just like really happy that it's like, yeah, I'm glad that this comic book superhero movie looks like a comic book superhero movie, and they're not afraid to do like a silly effect on this glowing lasso of truth.
Yeah, I really and it, you do it right and it doesn't look silly.
Yeah,
you know,
looks great.
I mean, that idea sounds silly, and I'm not sure who it is, but there's some artist that I have seen, and it feels like that was their take on how you do her lasso.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was. There's like a particular image that's kind of like stuck in my mind, and as soon as I saw that in the trailer, I was like, oh, that's, they got that from that. And I don't know if that's the case, but there's like this one really particular image stuck in my head, and it's just fuzzy enough since like basically all I remember is the lasso looking like, you know, even in, because that shot's like, you know, it's kind of like in broad daylight.
Yep.
But the lasso still, you know, still really stands out.
Yeah. I mean, the lasso appears in Batman versus Superman. And it doesn't look like that. Like it doesn't look.
Yeah, does not look like that. There's also, I liked that in a bunch of the action stuff for this, well, one, that everything wasn't just like brown.
Yeah.
And that there wasn't just, you could see what was happening in the action, and it wasn't just like smoke and debris and everything just constantly in the way of all the brownness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, just, and I'm, you know, I think we're all, we kind of get that fatigue on that Zack Snyder speed up, slow down kind of action. But you're kind of, I guess I'm kind of hard pressed in some instances to go, how else would you show off exactly how cool something that's happening so fast is?
Yeah.
Which, and I don't know if there's a good answer for that, but I was trying to, I guess they don't really do that in the Marvel stuff.
Yeah. I think that they are, like this trailer, aside from looking really good, I think that the presentation of the trailer shows a lot of attention to detail and a lot of like attention to how the story is actually going to unfold and the character mm-hmm. of Wonder Woman herself. I think that I get the feeling that they're taking this seriously in that they're trying to make Wonder Woman's first movie appearance something memorable and something good, as opposed to just something, eye-catching or something that's just eye candy. I think they're trying to make an honest effort to make it good and memorable, which is something that I think this sums up a lot of our opinions on, like, just the general consensus of people's opinions on the trailer is that we're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
But optimistic, nonetheless. So.
Yeah. So there's some stuff in there where I know that, you know, obviously I know why they put some of these things in there, because it's like, all right, this trailer is coming out at the height of a thing. It's going to get a lot of attention, more attention even than it normally would because of when it's coming out. And they're obviously they want to get as many people on board, try to, you know, please as many people as possible. Right. So there was some things in there where I was going like, all right, I didn't need that. Mm-hmm. Or I know why some people are not going to like, you know, X, Y, or Z. And that's just kind of, you know, when you're making a $100 million, $200 million movie, you have to try to, you know, you have to try to put stuff in there that's going to appeal to the biggest possible demographic.
Yeah, I think, you know. I think that they're worried, and most studios are worried that when you have a female lead, that you're going to be afraid that the men aren't going to come see it or get excited about it. So I think that that trailer was very much geared towards like the male action, like the people that usually watch, like, you know, the conventional male led action movies and superhero movies. So there's a lot of those, you know, those hero shots where she's coming up with her sword and shield and she's deflecting bullets and, you know, all the stuff that you would normally see in like a, you know, a cool superhero movie starring a man. So I feel like that's who that trailer was for. And I saw a reaction on Twitter from a lot of people, namely women that were like, actually there was one of my friends, I won't say who it is, but one of my friends was saying that like a lot of the men are reacting very positively to this trailer, but a lot of the women that I have on my feed are just like, yeah, that looks okay. Like they're not, they're not really like gaga over it like the guys are. And I think that's totally what WB is trying to do right now. They're trying to kind of be like, hey, this should be like a Batman movie to you guys. That's how seriously you should take this.
They're like, don't worry. It's still an action movie.
Right. Yeah. I know it stars a girl, but
It's well, the thing to me was that they had to like, and I like Chris Pine, but it's like that it seemed like they had to keep putting shots of him doing action-y stuff.
It was weird that they had that one shot pretty early on in the trailer of like Chris Pine walking in front of Wonder Woman. I'm like, I'm not here to see Chris Pine.
Yeah. Well, it was just like, you know, they have that shot where there's a shot in there where, you know, he's like shows him fighting and shooting. And then there's a part where he's like in his World War One plane, which is really interesting to me that the movie that's set during World War One, which you'd think would be when you would want to go desaturated, is more colorful than the movie that was set in the present that just came out.
Yeah.
But like, because if the Wonder Woman movie had come out and then it was like everything was kind of like desaturated, almost looking kind of black and gray, you'd go, yeah, okay, this is a period piece. I get why they're doing that. But you can tell that it's very much a thing. They were like, even though there is, you know, I felt like there was probably some of that in there, in like some of those battle scenes. Still very much they're like, no, look, she's colorful. It's fine. It's superheroes. But and having him shooting other planes in his like propeller plane and just, don't worry, guys, there's still men doing action stuff. Right, this is not just a girl movie it's not just for feminists.
I'm okay with the trailer taking that apologetic kind of tone, but I'm not okay with the movie being that way. So I'm waiting for more like from this movie. Like, I just can't wait for this movie to come out. Like I really do want to love it. And I really do like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I think she's great. And I really hope the best for this movie. I almost want this movie, like, if I were to choose one movie to be like the best of, like, if I can only choose one movie out of all of these DC movies to be any good, I would want this one to be the one. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. I completely understand that. And I think I'm right there with you. I'm, you know, part of me is like, well, I want the Justice League to be good, because this is the first time we get to have a Justice League movie. Right. But yeah, it's like if there's one that deserves to be good, this is kind of like the situation I found myself talking to some people about in, like, was it like 2011, when that summer it was like Green Lantern, Captain America, yeah, Thor, and X-Men First Class were all coming out.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, on the one, like, and I think I was talking to Kurt and Eugene about that. We had like a whole big conversation about this, where we were saying, if only one of these movies could be really good and really successful, which would you want it to be? And I was like, man, I would really love for Green Lantern to be good and successful, because it would be nice for DC to get to make another, to have another one of their characters go like, oh, look, we can make a movie that's not just Batman or Superman. But then I was like, but ultimately, I think I would want it to be Captain America, because I think Captain America is the character that deserves to have a good movie the most. He's just like of all those characters, it's like, I don't know. I was like, Captain America he seems like the most important, deserves. And like, even more so now with Wonder Woman, because it's like, that she's been around this long and has been such an important, like, character, not just to DC's pantheon, but to, you know, in pop culture, and just to, you know, like in the 70s when she was like such a feminist icon, and, you know, not necessarily, but, you know, without DC's permission, kind of, she became the feminist icon.
In addition to, like, Wonder Woman deserving, like, a good representation, it's like it's what we need. Like, the people deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, we would be so much more well off with a really good Wonder Woman movie than we are with, like, another good, you know, Batman movie or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good to agree on things with someone.
Have you been arguing on Twitter again?
I haven't been arguing, but it's just like, I've realized how good it feels to, the other day I realized how good it feels to just like, when you block someone, it's like their opinion just vanishes from the world.
Yeah, it's nice.
And I was like, oh my God. Well, it's like, okay, so with, not to get too into a thing, I'll keep this quick, because I'm not trying to get into a whole thing, but like, the you know, when you with all the there's a real interesting cross-section going on right now between SDCC and the RNC,
the Republican National Convention.
There's like, both of those things were happening this week. It was just Twitter was certainly had no shortage of things to talk about.
Yeah, everybody's got hot takes.
Yeah,
a lot of hot takes.
I wish we could just kind of turn Twitter and Facebook off for a week and let everyone just cool out on their hot takes.
But you can, Chris. You can do that.
Well, I can, but I want everyone to be forced to. Where it's like, where everyone, like, Twitter and Facebook both just turn themselves off for a week. And well, I'd like to. I mean, obviously they won't, because they're businesses. But I was thinking, like, if they did that, you'd be forced to only be able to say your opinions about things to actual people, or just keep them to yourself. And I think that if people were forced to have to try to just say their hot takes to people's faces, they might,
they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Or they might perhaps reflect on them just a little bit more before they, but you know, just, there's certainly been no shortage of things for people to talk about on Twitter and online and stuff. And there would be things where I saw, you know, I'm a dummy for doing this, but it's like, you know, I would see like a tweet where I was like, oh, that's a popular tweet. Clearly, you know, someone's retweeted something that's getting a lot of traction. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting, I started to say take, but I don't want to say take, because it's not just stuff that's like, that's an interesting fact or statement, whatever. And then you look at the comments, the replies, which, of course, why would you do that? But like a dummy, I end up doing it sometimes. But you know, and you look at the replies, and there will be like people going, "Oh, this is so great! Like, thank you for saying this. Mm-hmm. Oh, you made such a good point." Blah blah blah. And then you start getting people that are like, after the initial like people like right on, then you start getting the people who say something that is like, you know, just the complete antithesis, or something that's just like, why would you say that? Why would you even type that out?
Yeah.
You know, or stuff that's just like, wow, you're insane.
Yeah. It's like, it's a shame, because there's so much like good discourse online, and it gets drowned out by volume, by people that just, they treat communication through the internet very differently than I think that some other people do. Like they're very passe about it, and they don't put as much thought or consideration into what they say. They just spew it. And sadly that's given as much space as someone who put a lot of thought into their, you know, into their tweets or their thoughts online or whatever.
Well, and it's like when you see something, and I mean, and this is like, I feel like this is always the case, and it's not just because of Twitter. I mean, I feel like this has been a thing that people have talked about being, you know, just depending on what kind of person you are, mm-hmm. you know, is like where you could see 100 replies to that tweet, or, you know, to your own tweet, whatever, you know, it's like, see 100 replies that are like positive and have something good to say or something supportive. Right. But the one that sticks with you is just that one really awful one. You know, that's what, you know, like 100 compliments don't build you up as high as mm-hmm. like one negative thing can like take you down.
Yeah. And it's something that I talk about a lot as like, and if you listen to the last podcast, you would also know I'm a martial arts instructor. So, I talk about this a lot with students, and like, namely kids that are growing up, like, especially if they're like younger than 12, but obviously they have to be a certain age to kind of understand what I'm saying. But like, if they are constantly focused on the things they can't do well, or things that they need to improve on, if you're constantly focusing on those things, then you don't know the importance of the things that you are doing well. And so like to think positively seems like a, like to the pessimist, whenever you say think positively, they always think of it as like, you know, you're just lying to yourself, you're trying to be overly positive. Whereas my thing is that it's not being overly positive, it's being constructive. And looking at parts of, you know, whether it's yourself or a conversation, where you're trying to look for the positive in what you're trying to say is what you're trying to, you know, build on, and not trying to break down something, you know, instead of always criticizing, instead of always just, you know, breaking down things, you could build something, you know, you could actually focus on the positive side of things, in addition to the, you know, the constructive side of things, like the, you know, being positive doesn't mean that you're never negative, but what you do with that, what you do with that negativity is important.
Yeah. And being positive doesn't mean that you're like ignoring, you know, you're not being like oblivious, or you're not being naive. Right. It's see, look at this, you know, this is exactly what we were talking about when you think you're going to come on here and we're just going to talk about these movie trailers.
Yeah.
And then people end up getting some really helpful life and stuff advice.
Yeah. I mean, like, this stuff, like pop culture and like these movies and stuff like that, to a lot of people, you can dismiss them and say that they're just entertainment and they don't matter. But to a huge swath of people, they do matter, and they matter a lot. And this goes back to like the negative comments online thing. Like, some people like will talk negatively about something, and it'll be worth nothing to them. He's like, oh yeah, that Wonder Woman movie looks stupid, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
But then to someone else that's really positive about it, that could mean the world to them. Like, Wonder Woman could be their, you know, their hero, like what Superman means to you or me. You know, Wonder Woman is that to somebody.
Yeah.
And they could be really positive about it, and then another tweet will just kind of dismiss their opinion, and you'll think that they're of equal weight, but to one person it means a whole lot more. And to the other person, that doesn't mean anything. So, like, that's how I always kind of like talk about with my friends, whether they're artists or they're, you know, writers or whatever, because we know a lot of writers and artists. Like, if they're focusing on something very negative, like if they're focused on a negative comment online, I usually just tell them, it's like, that person, you've already thought about it more than that person has thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, you have thought about their little tweet more than they have.
Yeah.
So don't don't worry about it. Like they put no thought into that, you know, that tweet criticizing you.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. It's good advice. Good advice, yeah, kids. Good advice. It's like a 2-minute trailer. I mean, there's only so much we can, well, actually
got to see more.
I was going to say like we could probably just keep going on and on about it. But, I am excited. I mean, obviously I'm going to go see that movie regardless. Even if the trailers had looked like complete garbage, I would have been like, I've got to see what the movie's like.
Yeah. We're going to see it. This is a joke that I think you actually said that with Huge on the Gossiper podcast, where you're just like, listen, we're going to see it, but we're going to criticize the heck out of it.
And you know, but we'll give it a chance. You know, it's like, it's like, even if it looks bad, if it's one of these comic book movies, man, I can't help it. It's like,
someone like Nora, who is not in, like, you know, she's not like up with all like this nerd stuff, but like she's
being slowly indoctrinated.
I'll be talking about something. I'll be like, yeah, that's like before Superman and Batman vs. Superman came out. I was talking about how dour it looked and like, you know, it's like, oh, man, it's just, I wish they would do this. I wish they would do that. And then she took that as, oh, like, I'm really sorry. I really wanted to go see the movie with you. I'm like, oh, no. We're still going to go see it.
Yeah.
And we're still probably going to enjoy ourselves, but I'm just saying. Like,
whoa there. I didn't say it was, let's not get crazy. I didn't say I wasn't going to go see it. I just said I'm already complaining about it, and I'm going to complain about it a lot afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that part of geek mentality when you see people that are like so up in the air about something, and it's like, come on, man, you know, you're still going to go see this.
It's the thing is, it didn't even ruin my like enjoyment of the movie, because it was still a nice night out when we went to go see it.
Oh,
like, I still had fun to go watch it.
But, I had
my criticism.
Yeah. I had fun. I just did not have the fun they intended me to have. I had a completely different fun experience, which was of being like the only person in the theater laughing when I wasn't crying. So any other thoughts on Wonder Woman?
No, I think we should move on to Justice League.
I believe that an enemy is coming from far away. I'm looking for warriors. This stranger. Others like him. I'm building an alliance to defend us. It's very important that I see this man. Barry Allen. Bruce Wayne.
You said that like it explains why there's a total stranger sitting in the dark in my second favorite chair.
And it's like, I thought them showing Wonder Woman was going to be like, oh, that's their big thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, and then all of a sudden they dropped that picture of the Justice League. Right. And I thought that was going to be their, you know, their big thing. That's like, oh, look, and here's actually like a picture of them all together. And we're seeing Cyborg's suit for the first time. We're really seeing Flash's costume for the first time. And they're all together. And it's like, oh, look at them. They're all standing there. And like, there's colors. Everyone's outfits look, you know, like you can tell who they are. And I was like, even if you don't like the designs, you look at that lineup and you go, all right, I can tell who each of these people is.
Right.
And, you know, just from that, like the fact that there were colors and I think this is what I texted you. I was like, just from the fact that there was like colors and that Superman is standing there and it looks like he's got just like kind of like a little bit of a pleasant smile on his face.
He's not like grimacing and have like, you know, glowy red eyes.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. He doesn't have the red eyes. Just that he looks like he's just kind of got a pleasant, you know, he's not like smile. He's not cheesing, but he's got like, you know, he's just got like a pleasant kind of smile on his face.
Yeah.
I was like, just from that, I'm already ready to go. Okay. I'll give you another chance.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. I'll go ahead and pre-order my ticket.
Right.
And I thought that was going to be it. And honestly, that would have been enough for me to go like, okay, I'm kind of interested in this now.
Mm-hmm.
But then they dropped that, not even really a trailer. I mean, just like,
oh my God, it's a full on scene. Like,
yeah,
scene.
It's like, it's, you know, it's like several kind of like little bits of, you know, full scenes and, you know, just kind of strung together to go like, ooh, look at this and look at this.
Yeah. It's like what I'm assuming is the first like third of the movie, which is the recruitment process.
Yeah. And, you know, really give you a little bit of a taste of where their, you know, sort of what their approach on some of these characters is. And I was just like, wow, did not see that coming. And again, even more so than the Wonder Woman, really seems like they're trying to go like, look at how we've course corrected.
Yeah. Well, it, if you were to believe kind of like the, you know, the backstage studio tabloids or whatever,
the scuttlebutt.
Yeah. The scuttlebutt. They're reporting.
I love any excuse to get to use some of these old timey words like that.
Yes.
Scuttlebutt.
All the hubbub.
yeah.
Yeah. They say that like, the studios weren't happy with how dour Batman versus Superman looked, and kind of put some pressure on Zack Snyder to either lighten up, or they may have like reduced some of Zack Snyder's input, and they increased the input of Ben Affleck, who is I think he might be getting a producer role if you were to believe all
the I feel like that's what I heard him mention it when they did that like a couple weeks back when they did that big like sort of they invited all of those different, you know, reporters and websites and media outlets to the Justice League set and showed them off a bunch of stuff, try to get some positive press going before San Diego.
I mean, which makes sense. Like Ben Affleck is an Academy Award winning director at this point.
And writer.
And he's, I mean, that's how he broke out onto the scene as a writer before he was ever an actor. Like, and he's also a gigantic nerd. So it's like, why wouldn't you use that resource once you had him?
It's like, I mean, I assume it's because they're like, we're already paying him so much for just the acting. Well, and because supposedly, you know, I don't know what his payday was for Batman versus Superman, but they really had to do some convincing from what I have heard, you know, to not that I'm trying to turn this podcast into like, ooh, Hollywood gossip podcast, the Hollywood gossiper, Hollywood nerd gossiper, you know, not. You know, just because he had such a bad public shaming over Daredevil, had such a bad experience with that, you know, that they just, they kept pushing and pushing for him to, and he didn't want to do it. And then finally, you know, he agreed and supposedly they just, you know, brought him that dump truck full of money. But
I feel like that might've been some negotiating skills from Ben Affleck though. Cause he's such like, we know he's a huge nerd and he loves comics.
Yeah.
You like, if you offer a guy like that, the role of Batman, come on, like you're gonna say yes, but you know, to negotiate a higher pay, you have to do what you got to do.
Yeah, when you see that, I mean, obviously everybody's seen that video of him where they at that press thing where they're talking to him and the guy that plays Superman. And I know what his name is, but I never want to say his name because I've never heard anyone pronounce his last name with authority. Like they go like, oh no, this is definitely how it's pronounced. I've heard a lot of people say it several different ways.
I was at San Diego Comic-Con last year when, no, 2 years ago when they had him come out on stage. And I think they announced his name as Henry Cavill.
Okay.
So.
All right.
That's how
that's how I'm going to move forward. Cavill. All right. Heard it here first, folks. From here on out, this is how I will pronounce his name, and if it's wrong, it's on Randy.
No, it's on that guy at San Diego, whoever that is.
Well, also, man, can you imagine if you were at San Diego and you're about to be introduced, you know, and you're like a person that's on the cusp of being a movie star, and they introduce you, and they say your name wrong, and it's like you're coming out, and the crowd's all cheering, and, you know, it's like, do you just go with it, or do you then wait, you know, once the crowd dies down, then do you go, actually it's pronounced, I feel like that would be like a real, anxiety moment for me if I were in his shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, you would assume that the person that's going to be doing the introduction has like been briefed beforehand on how to pronounce people's names.
I feel like they were mostly just shocked that he was British. Like he started talking and he had a British accent and they're like, whoa. It's kind of like when Christian Bale talks too. Like when
y'all know he's got that Welsh accent. Yeah.
He's got that thick Welsh accent. You're like, whoa.
what were your thoughts on Justice League?
I thought that it was, again, very cautiously optimistic. I think that it was like them punching up the colors, I think, was a very conscious decision by the producers and the people involved in making it. They really wanted to make it more fun. And I think that the kind of banter that they included in it was supposed to be lighthearted as well.
Absolutely.
I liked it a lot. I think that the highlight, I think, for everybody was the Flash and how boyishly charming he was and how, you know, sympathetic he was, and just that, that those 5 seconds he was like, he had dialogue, him saying that he needed friends. I was watching that. I was watching that with Ming too, and she just clutched my arm, and with the other arm clutched her heart, and was just so heartbroken. It was just like, I love this man already.
I mean, I think I said that to you guys on Twitter, where I was just like, oh, finally a superhero we can all relate to.
Yeah, I think Jordan Gibson, our mutual friend Jordan Gibson, wrote on Twitter after he saw that trailer, it was just like, I'm only really here for Wonder Woman and Lonely Fast Boy. Accurate.
A lot of stuff. You can tell that they are definitely trying to make Aquaman seem impressive and not someone to make fun of.
Yeah, he was really, I thought he came across really well. Until that last little bit of that trailer where Batman goes, I hear you talk to fish.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the thing that Aquaman always has to deal with, is that so many people remember his, you know, his like Aquaman being lame. But to like everyone else within the confines of like DC Universe, like Aquaman is, he's the king of the ocean. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, obviously, I think that's the kind of thing that they have to, I don't know that they have to, but I feel like they think they have to, right. You know, kind of like.
It's again, that apologetic tone that they have to take with superheroes or, you know,
put that, you know, put that lampshade on it and be like, yes, we know that that's what people say about Aquaman. We're not trying to, you know, but, and then go, but here's why not. Here's why we think he's cool. I mean, and he certainly looked like a guy you wouldn't want to. Well, and also I like that he, you know, Batman says that line as Aquaman's, you know, basically holding him up by his throat.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it is that kind of thing of, okay, but he still looks cool while Batman's saying, but they can't have Batman not look cool at the same time.
Right.
You know,
Batman like, always has to be the coolest person in the room.
Yeah. I hope everyone could hear my eyes rolling. I love Batman, but it's, you know,
I like Wolverine too, but that's what they do with Wolverine.
Anyway,
Wolverine's not on screen, everybody should be just asking, where's Wolverine?
I thought that looked like and also some of the reactions I saw to Aquaman on Twitter from lady folk was something was clearly like, all right, they have checked that box. You know, they've hit a real strong, you know, demographic of people who are like, that fellow is attractive.
Yes.
Some people didn't put it quite that eloquently. They were they had a little bit more enthusiastic responses to it. But I mean, you could definitely see the points they were trying to make with some of this stuff. They're like, all right, here's what we're doing. This is kind of where we're going with Aquaman.
Yeah.
This is what we want you to think about the Flash.
Yeah.
Not worried so much about showing you Cyborg, cause his movie's not coming out. It's here's
Cyborg.
Yeah. There he is. Don't worry about anything about him just quite yet. Cause you know, I'm sure that.
Yeah. Well, they'll do more.
Yeah. Well, and also his movie is a little bit further off. So they're like,
right.
I feel like the reason, you know, Flash and Aquaman are the next ones up.
Yeah. And it's obviously he is the one that carries the least amount of like name star power.
Yeah.
Like if you say Cyborg to a person walking in the street, they're less likely to know what you're talking about than if you were to say Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman.
Speaking of Aquaman seeming, you know, people, Aquaman getting a bad rap, because I think Aquaman's like an awesome character.
Aquaman's cool.
You merely need to go swimming to know how neat it would be to be Aquaman.
He is the ruler of over 70% of the Earth. this is a water planet, man.
Well, and also, man, with that in mind, I feel like there is a real a potential for that Aquaman movie to be, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it will be, but just like to be able to do something that's got like a whole, you know, kind of underwater world and all this stuff going on and like sort mm-hmm. of in the confines of this bigger universe.
I really do think that like as much as the Flash's dialogue was like really cool and really like heartwarming and it builds a lot of character in that short amount of time, I really think that like now that I think about it, Aquaman was what I was way more excited about, not only because Jason Momoa looks, you know, just really cool as Aquaman, but the fact that as a person of color, there is, you know, he's a Polynesian man that is portraying someone that controls the ocean, and that in of itself is really cool.
Yeah.
But also like in the trailer, they establish through like the dialogue of that person talking to Batman that like he's a benevolent, like he's not like one of those that version of Aquaman that hates surface dwellers. Like he is trying to help people and he is being a superhero. Like he's helping the downtrodden.
He's being a hero. With his superpowers, he's not necessarily it's like, well, and I mean, I think there's something kind of to be said for the, it's like, oh, he's not just worried about punching people with his powers. It's like, right. Oh, he's not just being a superhero. He's being like a good, a hero, and that he's just being a good person, you know, like trying to help out people that need help.
Yeah. I want to learn more about Aquaman. Like he seems like a really good guy and he seems
the first time anyone has ever said that.
Yeah. Right. He seems like a really, you know, he's really scary and you know, he looks very strong and he's very aggressive, but it seems like he is helping people and he seems like he's on our side. So it's like, you know, it's exciting. I like more than anything, I want to see superhero movies about good people. Like, they can be flawed, but at their core, they need to be good people. So I'm excited about that.
Man, something I hadn't thought about this before, but you just said something that like really reminded me of something of like how powerful it can be. I mean, to kids, but not just to kids, you know, I mean, this kind of works across the board for people. It's like the idea and maybe, the, you know, and maybe this is kind of like a piece of the puzzle that I've never quite gotten about why people like Wolverine and Batman so much, but that there could be doing with like, it seems like a little bit what they're doing with this Aquaman is like, it's really, it makes you feel good to think that, this guy is big and scary and he's on my side.
Yeah.
Like, he's scarier than the bad guys. Right. And like, I read an article, a little while ago about, there's this like group of bikers that they've formed this like a support group and thing for like for and they'll like come to anywhere in the country and they've got like a whole bunch of members, but anyway, it's like where they will come and help anytime there's like a kid who is involved in something where an adult has done something bad and like kids need whatever it is, if there's like they'll come and they'll basically just stay like and like be just guards outside their house or they'll come with the kids to, you know, to court, to things like they do all this stuff
great.
and they read about that. Yeah. And it's like, and they stay with, they'll like, once you're kind of adopted into this family, it's like they stay with people, you know, this group will still be there for you, like as a support group.
Yeah.
You know, until you're grown up, like somewhere in this, I read something where they were saying like, you know, one of the people that was in it, like had something happen to them when they were younger. And then as you know, they got older and then that person that they had helped, you know, testify against whatever had gotten released, you know, they'd served their time, whatever. But then like the person was still nervous and, you know, scared about it. And those bikers showed up to, you know, give them moral support and, you know, but the idea of I think that's something that like, one of the bikers was saying in that story was this idea that it's like, you don't need to be afraid because we're bigger and scarier than the bad guys.
Yeah. I think that's definitely true of Batman, at least like why the Batman that I like is one that is genuinely a nice person. And you see a lot of like, you know, he smiles from time to time. He definitely shows that he loves, you know, his Bat family, you know, the Robins. And like, I like that Batman best because that shows humanity. And, you know, there's that line from the Batman comic, and I'm not remembering which one it's from, but it's like, Gotham is filled with very scary monsters, psychopaths and murderers and people that kill without reason. But I'm really glad that the scariest monster in Gotham is on our side, and that's Batman. And like,
yeah,
that's the appeal of those types of characters. But when they go too far in the other direction, where they just make them very, 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 very scary, but with no kind of like heart to them, that's when I'm just like, I'm kind of over, you know,
yeah,
Batman.
When they make them, when they make them just so grim and teeth gritty,
right,
and yeah, and dark without a purpose other than it's like, oh, this is cool to do this.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head where it's like, when you do it with that feeling of like, they're doing this to serve this good.
Right.
That's really cool. But yeah, when people lose the thread on like, hold on, this is, I think it's easy for people to just go like, oh, they like it when he's real mad about stuff.
Right.
That's turn
like,
that knob.
Yeah. That's like the icing on the cake. You know, you need like, you know, your vegetables. You need the meat, the mean potatoes of who that person is, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like the idea of Robin is kind of, it's supposed to be that for Batman, you know? Like, it's supposed to show his heart and his more, you know, lighthearted side. And all the people that kind of like, oh, Robin's corny, Robin's cheesy. I'm just like, yeah, but he makes Batman, Batman. And same with like Wolverine and his like.
Also, who are these idiots that are saying Robin is cheesy and corny?
Oh, when those Christopher Nolan movies were coming out and everyone was just like, oh, I'm so glad there's no Robin. Robin's the worst. And like, yeah, maybe Robin as it stood before wouldn't have worked in those in that universe, but you need to show some humanity to Bruce Wayne.
I love Robin. Like, I like Robin way more than I like specifically Dick Grayson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not that I don't have a particular place in my heart for all of the Robins in their own ways, especially Damian, but especially Damian with Dick Grayson as Batman. Dick Grayson, Robin, I like him so much more than Batman. Cause it's like, he's a character who went through the same kind of horrible thing. And it's like, oh, but thanks, thanks to Batman, you know, he's still, you know, he was able to come out the other side of it.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, this didn't turn me into a monster.
Right. He's still very positive and you know, he lost his parents too and he watched it happen, but he's not Bruce.
Well, and you know, it's, you know, it is that thing of how he, if Bruce had had someone there to help him through that had been through something like that, it might have made a big difference. So, I mean, and it does, you know, that I think that plays into the, like what you were saying about like why Robin's important to showing Batman's humanity is that it shows, you know, it shows his, he was there to help someone else not have to turn into him.
Yeah. And to go back to the trailer, like the fact that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for
it. It's okay. But the fact that Bruce says that joke at the end to Aquaman gives me some hope. Like maybe this Batman is not some dour creep. Like I really don't want that for Bruce. And like this, like Batman versus Superman did show that this version of Bruce is a more brutal one. Cause he's been in the game for a bit. He's a little older, you know, Jason Todd or whoever the Robin is in this universe has already died and killed by the Joker. So like, it seems like he is a little bit more hardened, but he needs humanity in order for us to kind of, to understand what Batman's role is in, you know, the DC universe. And I'm, even though like that joke like is at Aquaman's expense a little bit, the fact that he is joking at all is it's encouraging. Like I like that.
Yeah, it's a nice sign. Yeah.
You may not need to introduce Robin if you have, you know, this lighthearted side to Bruce.
Yeah. And you see him having people that he is actively kind of concerned for, and you know, he's clearly out to, he's wanting to put this team together to save the world. So he's kind of, I keep the problem with this conversation is that like, I am having so many of like, oh wait, we need to talk about that. And it's like, which is, it's great that this trailer is invoking that kind of response from me. Really what I'm kind of hoping is that it would be really nice if Justice League were able to sort of retroactively make Batman versus Superman not as bad.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if
how
you
many,
go,
how
okay.
many nights I've lied awake in bed just thinking about ways that movie could have been so much better.
Well, you know what I mean? I don't mean like it literally, like it fixes stuff, but I mean, it's like, if there's a point where when we have a number of these movies mm-hmm. in this DC cinematic universe, if we've got a number of these movies and you go, you're able to say like, all right, I don't like Batman versus Superman mm-hmm. on its own, but in the context of this larger story, it, you know, it served the purpose of getting these characters into place and blah, 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 you know. And you go like, and Justice League turned out so good that it kind of makes me go, okay, not like it's going right. to fix the problems with it. Not like they're going to come in and go, actually what happened mm-hmm. there was this, you know, and then they show it yeah. from some different angle and you're like, oh, okay. But just where it makes me go like, okay, that movie doesn't bother right. me as much now because it, you know, it kind of got us to yeah. these.
And like,
movies.
I think that the direction change you can see already in the next kind of big DC movie that's coming out, which is Suicide Squad. And there were reports, and by all accounts from what I've seen, it's true that they're like that. yeah. They did a bunch of reshoots and they changed the marketing completely from what it was to what it is now, which is just filled with pop music and bright colors. And
yeah. Which is why I think that's what, I mean, obviously I'm still going to it.
Right.
And I'm curious to see how it turns out, but it's like, I think that
the movie was still completed under the pretenses that it was supposed to be dark and serious. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
So, yeah. So I'm like, I'm still real cautious that I don't think that it's, I mean, I'm sure that it's going to be more fun than it would have been.
Right.
I'm sure they've added some stuff and, you know, kind of move some things around or whatever.
Right.
With those reshoots and all that stuff. I'm sure they are trying to, between the response to Batman versus Superman and the incredible sensation that was Deadpool, I'm sure that they are trying to maximize the effects of the things that they want to,
right.
that they see or people are reacting to.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, I don't feel like that's going to be the one where we yeah, really see
I,
what this,
I don't either, but is. I'm just saying that the marketing side of things, they are acknowledging, they are acknowledging yeah. that this is a problem. And that yeah. they're trying to make, you know, some progress in fixing it, I guess. You know, I don't know if that's the right word, but trying to change it.
I think fixing it's the right word. well, let me ask you this. Seeing how neat, and I'm kind of jumping back to Wonder Woman for a mm-hmm. second, but it's all in the kind of under the heading of this whole sort of DC cinematic universe topic. Mm-hmm. Seeing how cool that the Wonder Woman trailer looked, do you feel like maybe it would have been a lot cooler to see her show up in Batman versus Superman if we had already been introduced to her and with her own movie? Or do you feel like it couldn't have worked without, we need to be introduced to her first and then, yeah, you know, and well, then do her
movie? I think if you're a good enough writer, you can make anything work. But like, I think what I thought,
so what you're saying is, you know, the Warner Brothers writers are not the people DC's got going for them.
I don't want to make any value judgments or statements right now on the podcast, but I did challenge two of the writers to a fight on Twitter. So yeah. that happened. But anyway, yeah. I think that what would have made more sense.
I wouldn't give to see that happen.
What would have made more sense, but they obviously didn't have the patience to do it, would be to have a Superman movie, the Batman movie, Wonder Woman movie, and then, of course, you know, at least a Trinity, like the Trinity movie, I guess, the Batman, yeah. Superman, Wonder Woman movie, and then the Justice League. But if they weren't going to do that, I think that what they could have at least done was given us this Wonder Woman movie first, and then have her introduction in the Batman versus Superman movie be the moment where she jumps in and saves Batman, and have that be the introduction. Because that, and I was just talking about this part of the movie with Ming, who hadn't seen it. That's the highlight of the movie for me, is when, spoiler alert, Wonder Woman's in the movie and she jumps yeah. in, and it's actually in the trailer. She jumps in and yeah. saves Batman from Doomsday's heat vision. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's just that tight shot of her, and it's just her bracelets, and then she slowly lowers her bracelets to reveal, you know, her face and her tiara, and then her really cool music, her theme music plays.
Yeah.
That part is genuinely goosebump inducing. And
not at all the music I would have picked to represent. Like, if you had me pick a bunch of, you know, hear a bunch of music in a lineup,
right,
I never would have picked that music as like, oh, that's going to be the Wonder Woman theme.
Right, yeah.
But then there it was again at the end of that trailer.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, I never would have picked like big, you know, guitar sounds,
right,
to be like represent Wonder Woman. Yeah. But okay.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
One side of me is saying that like that's like Warner Brothers' way of like, you know, trying to, again, appeal to the male demographic. Yeah. And then another side of me is just glad that they didn't just go with like some like harps or some, you know, some stereotypical, you know, like, oh, this sounds feminine. Like I'm glad that they went with war drums and like, you know, that's befitting of a,
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's just like, I could not have predicted it, but yeah, totally works. Yeah. Especially in that context in the movie. Like, well, that was the funny thing was, you know, when it happens at that point in the movie, you're just like, oh, okay, that's like the music cue for that. I didn't realize it was going to be like Wonder Woman's music. But then when they do it, you know, at least I think like, you know, maybe one or two other times in there, I've, you know, I'm sure that there's huge chunks of that movie that have just been deleted in my brain. Which, man, have you watched the extended
version yet? I have not yet. I'll have to, I'm going to watch it. Again, I'm going to watch it. But
yeah, I know I'm going to, but well, and it's like when I heard that, you know, when it first came out on digital, you know, because it came out like a week or two early on digital, I was like so tempted to get it because I just heard people, like specifically David Uzumeri, who hated just the regular version, but then he was kind of like live tweeting himself watching that extended cut and was like, guys, this is a way better movie. Yeah, you know, he said it's like it's still got all kinds of problems, but it at least makes more sense now. And it went from being just like an awful movie to the take I kind of got from him was that it went from being an awful movie to being like a fun bad movie. You know what I mean? Like, in a, you know, which I'm fine with. You know, I mean, I love fun bad movies. Ideally, I want my movies with Superman and Batman to be
just a good movie,
fun great movies. I do not want them to be fun bad movies, but you know, I'll take what I can get. I'll definitely take it moving up from you know, just infuriating unwatchable to
I mean, bad. Like, I think, like, I speak for the both of us, like, we want every Superman movie to be like The Godfather in terms of like level of greatness, and we'll settle for something less, but it's like how far lower down that pole do you want to go?
Yeah, exactly. I would prefer that every Superman movie be like considered like just one of that generation's all-time greatest movies. But clearly that's not the direction we're moving in. All right. So the last thing I wanted to ask you about real quick, nothing to do with the DC Cinematic Universe. Well, wrapping that up, I'll say, it seems like our take is both that we're cautiously optimistic, and they clearly, the fact that we're talking about it with anything other than revulsion or disdain shows that they have made some right moves. Especially if the people from Warner Brothers could have read our text thread after we saw Batman.
I mean, I would feel a lot better about it if they weren't associated with those two people that I challenged to a fight on Twitter. But, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, even now.
Yeah. So the last trailer that also got released today that I wanted to talk about, and has nothing to do with any of those, though, is Kong Skull Island.
This planet doesn't belong to us. Ancient species owned this earth long before mankind. I spent 30 years trying to prove the truth. Monsters exist.
You don't go into someone's house unless you're picking a fight.
What you're looking at is a monster from some bygone era. Time to show that man is king.
Ah!
which was great because when we were prepping for this, when I asked you if you saw it, you were like, what? New King Kong? Let's say what? So you had this movie, this movie was not even on your radar.
No, I didn't know this is what we wanted, but this they're telling us this is what we want.
Well, you know, I mean, when Godzilla comes out, when they do a new Godzilla and it's a big hit, even though I'm not a fan of that movie, you know, for various reasons, there's things I liked in it. And obviously, same deal with like superhero movies. If they make a Godzilla movie, right, I'm going to go see it.
I really love Godzilla. Like I want to love all of these movies. Like I'm not criticizing Kong because I'm just like, oh, another one of these. Like I want to like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but that's the thing. It's, you know, a Godzilla movie comes out, makes a bunch of money. The studio looks around and goes, okay, what else do we have the rights to? And they're like, okay, well, we've got the rights to King Kong. That's the same thing. Let's have those same people do that. Or, you know, or the producers, you know, the production company that had the rights to Godzilla also had the rights to King Kong and was like, all right, we made one. How can we do another one? And obviously I'm going to put all of these videos for all these trailers in the show notes and maybe other fun stuff. You never know. Better look at the show notes. So, which of course there's handy buttons at the bottom of the show notes for sharing things on the different social medias. So maybe you want to do that. But first of all, I'm excited to see a King Kong movie, just like with Godzilla. It's like, yeah, okay. Even though I did not care for the last one, both with Godzilla and with King Kong, I'm still like, I'm down. And man, it feels kind of exactly like every other King Kong movie and completely different from every other King
Kong movie. I feel like that's the goal with all of these reboots is I don't even know if there's a reboot, but like, I guess it's like a reboot of a franchise. Like they're trying to reinvigorate it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the goal. I feel like the goal with these is to kind of like wait just long enough so that you kind of aren't, you don't know that you want it, and then like present it in such a fashion where it feels like it's a big thing. Like the way that this trailer was presented was like, oh, I bet you don't know who this is. Guess what? It's King Kong. That's right. King Kong, the greatest, the greatest movie star ever. And it's presented in such a way where you're like, oh, I didn't know I wanted this, but I guess I do. That's how you're presenting it anyway. Like,
I'm completely down for a new King Kong. It's just, I like to imagine that they're, at some movie studio somewhere, there's guys sitting around a table and they go like, all right, what else can we do? You guys, all right, you, what's your ideas? And they're like, there's the boss with the big cigar and he's like, all right, and they're like, has it been long enough since we made a King Kong movie? it's like, do you think people still remember how bad that last King Kong movie was? And I feel like that's kind of like the thinking with all these. They're like, we hadn't made a Star Trek movie in a while. Could we do a new Star Trek? okay, let's reboot Star Trek. Like, it's been 15 years since we did a King Kong movie. All right, new King Kong. It's been 2 years since we did a Spider-Man movie. New Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's like with this King Kong movie, you didn't even know that it was a King Kong movie until like halfway through the trailer. If you didn't look at the title of the YouTube clip,
Yeah, if you just saw that, I would love to have just seen that at a theater and have no idea what it was.
So I was curious as to how they presented this at San Diego. Like, do you know if they were like, this is a King Kong trailer and then showed it? Or were they just like,
oh, yeah, people have been,
this is a trailer,
waiting for this. No, people have been looking forward to this there are people who have been tracking this since originally it was just going to be called Skull Island.
Right.
Then they changed it to Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, that's way more marketable. Skull Island.
Yeah, people are like, oh, okay, I get it. King Kong, I've heard of that. Everything basically now is just, I feel like every movie now should just be like, thing you've heard of.
I mean, like,
which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that, like, they're excused because the quality of these movies, generally speaking, are pretty good. Like, they're not, there are no, like, why did they do this? Like, there's only some of them, but like for the most part, these movies that are coming out that are either like established franchises or sequels, they're generally speaking pretty darn good. Like they put some effort into them, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I wish that they put this much effort and marketing into original ideas in an ideal world. But if this is what we have and this is what we have to be excited about, I have no problem with it. Like, you know, how can you complain?
Yeah, it seems. Yeah, it really seems kind of like the thing is they take these people make something low budget that is a new and exciting idea that shows a lot of talent, and then they take the way that they're it's sort of like the system now is just like, oh, okay, then we scoop those people up and put them in charge of a $200 million yeah. movie. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that guy, the guy that did Godzilla, they were like, oh, he did this, you know, low budget movie called Monsters, which was great. All right, so he can do Godzilla then. Let's just throw him in front of this. Like, you know, or, you know, the biggest movie that James Gunn had done before Guardians of the Galaxy was what, as far as directing, was like Slither, right?
I think so.
You know, I mean, and it's like, I think the biggest movie that he'd been involved with prior to Guardians of the Galaxy was, you know, one of the Scooby-Doo movies. You know, so I mean, it's like, it, you know, it works to varying degrees, but I mean, instead of them taking somebody and, you know, or taking a bunch of money and going, let's spend a bunch of money on something we have no idea if people are going to care about. It's more like, let's try to get someone who hopefully can have some kind of something interesting to say or do something artistic with something that we know is already a thing people have heard.
Yeah. I think like studios are understanding that to some degree is that, it's good business to have good art. And that, like, those things don't always coexist. Like, the one thing doesn't always mean the other. But I think they realize now that, like, you know, making a good movie is actually good business because those actually make more money.
Yeah, and, they hold up and they make more money and they continue to make more money.
Right. Yeah. And I think that if this whole era of like reimagining established franchises continues and we get stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm totally cool with it. Like, ideally we're getting more original ideas than we're getting, but if this is what we got, then I'll happily, you know, stick with Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know,
we're living in a world Dread where movie. We saw there's an Ant-Man movie.
Right. And it was good.
And it's just like, what, like, I don't think you can stress enough how, like, you know, when we were kids, that idea, like, you couldn't even entertain it.
Yeah.
It's like, you could barely imagine the idea of, like, them making an X-Men movie.
Right.
Much less that it's like, hold up, they're going to make a movie of who?
They're going to make 10 X-Men movies?
Yeah. Or just like, well, with the X-Men, you're going like, okay, they're like Marvel's most popular comics,
mm-hmm.
you know, 1991. Imagine if in 1991 someone had come to us and were like, yeah, they're going to make X-Men movies. Yeah. They're going to be, you know, some of them are going to be okay, some are going to be not so okay.
Yeah.
But they're going to make an Ant-Man movie, and it's going to be a hit. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, there was this video that I remember seeing at the start of the year that was one of my sister's friends posted it, and then she shared it on her Facebook. It was just like a quick slideshow of all the movies that were slated to be released in 2016. And they listed, you know, like Batman vs. Superman and all these movies. And like, I was keeping track, and it was like a 2-minute long slideshow of all these movies that this one particular guy was really excited about. It was just like, can you believe that all these movies are coming out this year? And it was a lot of like, they were all established properties or sequels except for, Mona, or like one of the Pixar movies. And that was it. It was literally just one movie in this long list of maybe like 30 movies. That was an original movie that was not based off of a book or a comic.
Yeah. Or it wasn't something that already was not only one original IP.
Right. And I was like, wow, that's really telling. Like, these people are getting really excited about that stuff. And this is what the studios are seeing as like, the marketing, you know, takes care of itself if you get someone really excited about a property that they already know about.
Yeah.
And I get it, but, you know, can we find a way to monetize original ideas? Like, I feel like it happened before. It can happen again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, are these ideas that you're, you know, that you're are based on things that you're making movies and such of. It's like, you know, at one point, those didn't exist. Someone made them up and they were an original idea. Mm-hmm. So you could make up some new thing that could make, you know, when you think it's like 20 years ago, no one had heard of Harry Potter.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like you can make something new up that can become a big, can become a huge money-making cash cow for you.
That's what we should do, Chris. We should just make something. We should just make something as popular as Harry Potter. Then we'd be all set.
Oh my! Why didn't we think of this sooner?
I know, it's so easy.
Why didn't we just? All we have to do is make something as popular as Harry Potter.
Let's do it.
Well, and of course, you know, anytime someone makes up something popular, it's always hilarious to me to see that, like, anytime someone makes up something popular, then like the scramble to make up something that's just like it, that's never going to be as popular. It's like you've got how many, you know, years of history and pop culture to show you that never works out. You know, you're never going to make Aragorn 2.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you can get because Harry Potter was big, you can get the money made. You know, you can get the money to make Aragorn. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just schlock. You're not going to make another one. You know, you're not going to make a second whatever. You know, I mean, it's just always funny to me. It's like, you guys have seen this happen over and over. Why do you keep... Nothing ever just like suddenly takes off. That's like a huge, that's clearly just trying to cash in.
Yeah. Sadly, the easy kind of like short term money grab will always win out over the long term kind of like bigger money grab that takes more work and patience. Yeah.
It's just like, man, would you rather spend $50 million on a movie that's going to make $60 million? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather, you know, but you get it done, you get it turned around in a year? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather take like, 2 or 3 years and make a movie that costs $50 million or $75 million or $100 million, mm-hmm. but then over the course of 10 years makes you $5 billion. And it's just, I mean, it's really, man, this is like a whole bigger, longer conversation, but it's really like a symptom of the, you know, all the movie studios like in the 60s, 70s getting bought out by companies. Once those old men that, you know, those rich old men that had started the studios who just wanted to go make movies, you know, once they started dying off and their families were like, oh yeah, okay, we'll sell our movie studio to Exxon or whatever. You know, people who are just like, oh, just, it's just a company. Like, let's just see how we can make money with this, as opposed to like, we want to put on a show. Mm-hmm. Which, man, that's a whole other
thing. Keep it close to movies, everybody. the Hollywood Gospel podcast.
Yeah, that's why I love, you know, when you see somebody like John Lasseter, who ends up in a real position of power.
Yeah.
And it's someone who's
an artist.
Who's, you know, someone who is an artist and whose passion is like making good movies. Yeah. He's not like, but then, and it shows in the product where you go like, oh, that's why people are still, you know, it's been how many years since The Incredibles, and people, when they announce that they're finally, you know, 15 years later or whatever, going to do a sequel, and people are like, oh my gosh, hooray. You know,
I think like going back to like this whole, like the sequel idea or like reboot idea, one of the first things John Lasseter did once he became like the chief creative officer of Disney was like, no more of these direct to video sequels.
Yes.
Like Cinderella 2 or Mulan 2.
Lion King.
Like no more of these, because they're artistically bankrupt, even though they make some money off of direct-to-video. It's not worth ruining your franchise over.
Yeah, they make you a little bit of money in the short term, but they ultimately dilute the quality of the
brand. So now we get quality sequels, you know? Like when it's a sequel, it actually means something.
Oh, speaking of, and you mentioned Pixar earlier and you're talking about that slideshow. Have you seen Finding Dory?
Yes, I have.
Which,
oh man,
so good. And that was a movie where I was absolutely, I was like, man, I love Pixar. I have enjoyed every one of their movies except Cars 2. And even that, it's not like it's a bad movie. It's just like, this doesn't, whatever.
It's just not for you. Yeah, it's for kids.
It's just like, okay. But literally every other one. And it's funny though, like as we're getting older and as Pixar keeps making movies, and they every movie they make keeps being a hit.
Yeah.
And you go, man, it's at some point, you know, after the first like three or four, the narrative turned into sort of like, oh, the next one's going to be the one that super, right. sooner or later, one of these has got to flop. And now it's just been so long and they've had so many movies. It's just like, that's not, no one even cares anymore. No one's like waiting well, for now, that to happen anymore.
Now people are nitpicking. They're like, well, this one's not as good as this. Yeah. Like, you know, Finding Dory is not as good as Finding Nemo. I was like, it's still an incredible movie.
Yeah. But it's just funny to like that used to be the thing was that all of the, you know, the websites and, you know, the media were just like waiting, you know, just wringing their hands with anticipation of like when that next Pixar movie is going to come out, that's going to bomb.
Yeah.
And it just now it's been so long and it hasn't happened that now it's just like, that's not even the narrative anymore. It's just like, oh, okay. Apparently they care about putting out quality work. All right, let's find something else jerks. To focus on. When are these Marvel movies going to bomb? You know, when's the bottom going to fall out of the Marvel, whatever. So that's what they've moved on to. But I had absolutely no interest in seeing Finding Dory because I was just like, does this need a sequel? But then saw it and I was like, oh my God, that movie was fantastic. I was like, I loved it. And it's just like, I hadn't had a chance to say that on the show yet, I don't think, but Finding Dory was really good, everyone. I don't have anything critical to say about it. I don't have anything intelligent to say about it other than, boy, that was a fun time at the movies.
Yeah, really. I think like the most we can say about these sequels is just like as long as they're good, like that's got to be the main focus. Is like just tell a story that matters, and say something with it.
Yeah, well, and it's like of course, I remember being nervous about Toy Story 3, and then I think that might be the, like best the best one. Like I'm you know, I get real like there's a part of me that is like hesitant to say that just because of, you know, how great the first two were and how, you know, what a big deal the first
one.
But holy cow, just you want to talk about for emotional impact. All right. So I think we've pretty much covered all there is to say about these trailers. We're looking forward, I guess, to all of them. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I'd say that. That's a safe bet.
Yeah.
We're going to watch them.
We're going to watch them. That King Kong, he looks gigantic, absolutely monstrously huge, which I understand is like, oh, okay, so they want him to fight Godzilla. Randy, tell people where to find you online.
I am on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram, at Randall Trang. That's RANDALLTRANG. From there, you can go to my website as well, randalltrang.com, which is where I sell my my self-published comics. I don't know if I said this at the top of the podcast, but I am a comics writer and artist.
I'm assuming people are keeping up with the KICTM Extended Universe.
You're right.
So that they know what everyone's that's been on here before has already done.
Right, yeah. And I do an all-ages comics about a roller derby player and her martial arts instructor, and they fight off an alien invasion. That's my short pitch there.
Yeah, how could you not want to check that out, people? Yeah, come on.
It's fun.
I can't wait for the day that gets optioned. I'm really hoping I can find a way to get my foot into Hollywood by holding on to the coattails of when that gets optioned. Like, Randy, you need someone there to just keep you in line. You know, give it to you straight.
Yes, my entourage.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody, thanks so much for listening. I hope you had a good time.
This was a blast.
This was so much fun.
We'll do this again, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
Very soon. Very soon.
Hint. Wink, yes.
That's clue. Your stinger right there. That's your post-credits scene. Very soon.
Yeah. Guys, follow Randy on Twitter. Like he said, at Randall Trang. Follow me on Twitter at the Chris Haley. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast. Send your emails. Please keep sending your emails and stuff into the show at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys who have left reviews and such on iTunes. Please do that. Just all that good stuff. Thank you guys for listening. We will catch you next time. And until then, I will just leave you with this.
So do you want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
sorry, I could talk to you like all f-ing night, but it's like
yeah. No, that's what's going to be the stinger now.
Yeah.
okay.